Glad that you are here today, and want you to be sure and get one of these if you don't have one already, if you didn't get one when you came in. Kevin and Tony are walking this way if you need one. Make sure you get one. It's going to be later in the service when we use it, but want to make sure that you get that. Well, since the resurrection of Jesus is true, how should that affect our life? Last week I talked to you about the fact that because he is risen, then you and I have a mission that he has given to us. And we went through Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And those were specifically focused on the mission that we have to share the gospel and to communicate God's love for all people, all nations, to share with them how they can experience new life with a risen Savior that's real and trustworthy in all things, and that's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, I want to take a few minutes to talk about the importance of building a Christian community. Why are we identified as a community of faith? Why was the early church identified as a community of faith? How they lived their life each and every day, not just on Sunday, but each and every day was an example of how to live with other Christian brothers and sisters. So I want to hone in on that topic today, looking at specifically how do we build a Christian community with our brothers and sisters that are here. Do you feel and know that you are loved? Do you know you are prayed for in this community? Do you find a connection with others here? Do you know someone is going to hold you accountable? You know, to hold us accountable means that we need to spend time building trust. We need to spend time building that sense of community. Do you sense you would be missed if you were not here? If you didn't show up, if you had something else you needed to go to, would you feel missed in this Christian community? I remember as a teenager, our youth minister at the time showed us a movie called Cypher in the Snow. It was something that was specifically geared toward the education system and making sure that no child was missed. But it focused on this boy who would go to school every day, but he had no relationships. His teachers didn't respond to him. The kids in school made fun of him, had him sit at a different table for lunch, those kind of things. And then one day, he got off the bus and he fell into the snow. He was a zero. He died that day when he fell into the snow. He didn't die from people making fun of him or kidding him. He died from a lack of companionship, a lack of stability where he was. And that always stuck with me about the importance of building a Christian community. Because a lot of times we can get busy about things that we need to get done or get off our plate, or we can try spinning all the plates that are around us and forget about the people that we are striving to build community with, that we are striving to live not just in an isolated way, but to live in a connected way. And the church is the place where we should be able to find that. It should be the place where we can come and there's not a sense of judgment, where we are not shamed by coming into this place and knowing that there are things in my life that are not right with God. But I'm trying. I'm working. And is there anyone to help you in that process? Is there anyone that comes alongside of us and allows us to be ourselves and at the same time challenges us to come up to the standard that Jesus has lived before us? In Hebrews chapter 10, if you guys want to turn there, Hebrews chapter 10, I want to read from verse 19 through verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. This is how we are to live in a Christian community. We know that the church was born out of a fellowship of believers that had followed Jesus, had lived for him, was excited that he was resurrected. Some of them probably were questioning what was going on, but this was their community. It was the community that they had been given to help them grow in their faith, to help them become everything that God wanted for them to be. So I want to talk about that for a few moments here. First of all, in building a Christian community, you and I have to start with a common experience. Notice what it says in this passage. Since we have confidence to enter the holy place. Now, the holy place that it was talking about is that place in the tabernacle the Holy of Holies. Before the veil was torn, if we were a Gentile, which probably most of us in this room were, we couldn't go into a holy place. We were considered unclean, even though we may have wanted to, we couldn't. But now, because of what Jesus has done with his life, it doesn't matter if we're Jew or if we're Gentile. We can all come together. It doesn't matter if we're male or female. We can all come together and experience what God has for us. Talks about there, this was made possible by the blood of Jesus. His sacrifice on the cross. By a new and living way. By a new and living way. What was that new and living way? It wasn't based upon the law. It wasn't based upon our performance of religious activities. It's based upon what Jesus has done for us. How he has allowed his flesh and his blood to be broken and spilled out on our behalf. Therefore, we can come together as a common community with love for one another, not because we're such great people, but because God has chosen us and given us the gift of Jesus Christ so that we can live out what this new way is, so that we can show others a kind of love that is only characteristic of the love of God. You know, in the New Testament, it talks about, when it talks about God's love, it uses the word agape. When it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, do you know love is mentioned there as agape? It's a unique kind of love that only those who are followers of Jesus can have. It's the kind of love that the Spirit of God puts in us. For people that are easy to get along with and those that are difficult to get along with. You know, Jesus said, don't the Gentiles, the Pharisees, don't they do this? How much more should we? Should we express that love in a sense of community? The Pharisees expected others, you and I can live this kind of life as a Christian community because he has given us confidence and because we have a new high priest. A new high priest who makes it possible for us to enter into the throne room of God with boldness, it says here in this book. It says with boldness we can approach the throne of God. That was not how individuals outside of Christ, they could not approach the throne of God. But in Christ, we have a new confidence. We have a new way of entering in, and it's made possible by our relationship with him. So the first thing in building a Christian community is the importance of building a community based upon a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's only through that relationship with him that you and I can love, that you and I can serve, that you and I can care for others as Christ did. Christ himself reached out to his community of followers and shared with them the love of God. And he's doing that work even today. So the first thing we start with is a common experience. We have had an encounter with Jesus Christ that has transformed our life, the way we think, the way we act, the way we relate. The second thing that I want us to look at in building a Christian community is building a Christian community grows. That means it expands. It enlarges itself. It grows as we serve one another. This is what I meant to talk about a minute ago. The Pharisees expected others to serve them rather than looking for ways to serve others. Isn't that what Jesus talked about when he washed the feet of his disciples? If I have done this for you, then you turn around and you do that to the others around you. You serve them. You make them important. You think about them on a consistent basis. When you and I are focused on ourselves, you know what we do? We can become depressed, discouraged, feel like God doesn't care about us or love us. We can come to church and simply be focused on what's in this for me. But why do we gather together? We gather together to serve one another. We gather together to be a part of a family, a Christian community. 1 Corinthians 11:22 says, "Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing?" It's talking about before you enter into this Lord's Supper and you focus upon the significance of Christ's death in your life, think of that significance and that importance in the life of another. Paul talked about this reality as we grow, we serve others. In Hebrews chapter 10, one of the things that we look at here is looking at serving one another. He says there, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how." Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. When we come to church, is that our focus? How are you going to relate to the person that you are going to sit by today? How are you going to relate to the people that you teach today? How are you going to relate to the children that look to you today? Have you thought about that when you come to church? When we come to church, we come not focused on what I have to have, but focused upon how I can serve others. Changes our perspective. It changes the way we do things. The how of serving one another is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 21. So if you want to turn there with me, Romans chapter 12 gives to us examples of how we serve one another, how we share in this opportunity. Hebrews chapter 12, let's look at verse 3. "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself or herself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. God has allotted to each a measure of faith to which we act out of, we serve out of. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. This unity of the fellowship, this sense of community that he is speaking about. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then verse 9, it says this, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted in prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. This is what we are to do as a Christian community. We are to share what we have with others, not that you're guilted into doing it, but that it comes as part of your relationship with Christ. If we have a good relationship with Christ and we are consistently striving to follow Him, He is going to lead us to serve those around us. That's part of who He is. He said, as I have done to you, do this to one another. As I have served you, serve one another. This is the practice that he calls us to. So let me ask you this. How are you serving the family of God at Lake Sharon Community Church? How are you serving? What? Do you even think about that? Be intentional in finding ways to serve. This is like, if I can give you an example, it's like us coming to church and we're expecting to be ministered to, which is an okay thing. But do you ever think about your ministry to someone else? You think about how you can encourage them, how you can strengthen them. Do you recognize that the person who might be sitting next to you, who may be a visitor, needs an encouraging word? They have come looking for that. God has given you gifts. I know He has. I can't tell you how many times I talk to people who has visited our church who say, oh, this was such a friendly place. It was such a welcoming place. I know you know how to do it. But are we doing it with a sense of intentionality about it? Or is it just something that happens every once in a while? Are we coming with an expectation that God is going to use us today in the life of someone else? If we don't think like that, I can promise you this, it's not going to happen. It's like you've heard probably, if you don't plan, you plan to fail. If you don't come with an expectation, an intentionality, a deliberation to serve those who are in our community, it's probably not going to happen. Consider what God might be calling you to. The other question I want to ask you, are you serving the family of God by exercising your gifts? People all the time say, oh, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. You know what? Almost everybody can be an encourager. Almost everybody can give an exhortation, which is a sign of encouragement. It is a statement of encouragement to others. If you don't feel like you have any gifts, start exercising the one that comes naturally to you. God will continue to show you if He wants you to do more, but don't think to yourself, oh, I don't have a gift. I don't have anything to share. You do. God has promised to use you as a believer of His to bless other people. Be that blessing. Be that individual that speaks a word of encouragement, that loves on somebody, that prays for somebody. That's what God has called us to do. He's called us into this meaningful relationship. And it's through that that we are united together. So building Christian community unites us through meaningful relationships. Now, as you think about this, I want you to think about not just saying hi or being friendly. I want you to think about, am I seeking to build relationships in this church family? Or do I just want to say hi and bye and go on my way? A lot of people can come to church with that attitude. But that's not going to build Christian community. Christian community is built when we are in relationship with one another. When we express godly love to our brother or sister. Four times, four different authors in the New Testament spoke these words. The first one was Jesus. John 13:34 says, I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's a commandment from Jesus. If we say we follow Jesus, we need to be a person who loves like Jesus, who loves other people. Because Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. Sometimes people can be difficult. Sometimes they can be hard to connect with. They can be hard for us to enter into a relationship with them. Keep trying. Keep seeking the opportunity that God has given us to build a Christian community. The second person who spoke about this reality is Paul. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, "Now as to the love of the brothers and sisters, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." That's what I mean when I said a minute ago that when you and I are a follower of Jesus, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, will empower us, will lead us, will inspire us to love one another within the Christian community. Peter is the third one that spoke this word. 1 Peter 1:22, "Since you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth for a sincere love of your brothers and sisters, fervently love one another from the heart." And another one, the fourth one that spoke these words were John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Really, if you read any of 1 John, you're going to encounter this love that comes because we are in right relationship with God. 1 John 4:11 says this, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and His love is perfected in us." So our job in building a Christian community starts with that experience of a relationship with Jesus. Out of that, then it grows as we serve one another, as we share the love of Christ with one another. And then a Christian community is built when you and I learn to build meaningful relationships together in the community of Christ. Our daily task is to be an encouragement to one another. So, today, you got this note card. I want you to either today, I mean in this moment, or sometime, to write on this card an encouraging message to someone that you can share with them. And I want you to be intentional about doing that. I want you to deliberately share a message of encouragement. And may this be a start. May this be a start for us building a Christian community here that God, that honors God, and that God wants us to do. He desires for us as His church. Not only the church in the sense that the church is a global thing. God has believers everywhere. But as the family of God that meets at Lake Sharon Community Church, can we learn to build significant relationships so that in turn we can build a Christian community by the things that we do? I encourage you to pray, to ask God. God may want you to give it to somebody today before you leave. Don't miss out on that opportunity. God may want you to share with somebody that to be honest, you don't want to share with. Somebody who's difficult to get along with, somebody who maybe you've had a tension with them. But God wants you to strive to build a relationship because they are a believer and because you are a believer. That makes you, both of you, part of the same family. And how important is it for us in a family to live in unity and cooperation as much as it is possible? You know, Paul says in that Romans 12 passage, he says, "Owe no man anything but the debt of love." You and I, when we are living in a Christian community, are loving not only God in our worship, but we're loving one another by the way that we serve them. Let's pray together.